Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Last week, in our study on 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we were taught that taking a stand for God may cause us to be betrayed and hated by others, even our family members. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
If it comes down to a point where I'm going to offend one or the other, I would rather offend people than God. And so taking a stand will even get family members against you on some of these issues. Think of these verses, and each of them, as you think about it, revolve around Christ. First of all, in Luke 21, Jesus speaking, verses 16 and 17, "And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." Now think about that. Betrayed by a mother or your father. Other friends and kinsfolks for your stand for Christ. And hated for those stands. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. "And they overcame him," that is, they overcame the devil, "by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death." They stuck with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven and preached that gospel of repentance and faith. And they gave the word of their testimony, even if it meant their neck, and it did. They loved not their lives unto death, but then their eternity is so glorious and so blessed. We read in Matthew 5, 10 through 12, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." They even lie about it, make things up about it. Now, he says for us to rejoice and be exceeding glad. Why? "For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." But more than that, he says, "For great is your reward in heaven." That's why you rejoice and be exceeding glad. You have faith in God's word, and God's word says there's an eternity, and there's an eternal reward, and there's eternal blessing. And if God says something is great, and these are the words of Christ, if Jesus Christ, who created the heaven and the earth, says something is great, it must really be great. And he says, "Great is your reward in heaven." You know, it's interesting. We get rewards down here. We might win a trophy. I won a trophy in high school. As a young adult, as a matter of fact, when I was in my early 20s, I won that trophy, and it was a softball trophy. Now, friend, I have no idea where that trophy is today. I remember last time I saw it, it was all rusty and bent up. Part of it was broken. And, boy, the night I got it, though, boy, I thought that was the best thing. I mean, that was just wonderful. Boy, that was a glorious night. Well, that soon faded. But you realize that the rewards of heaven never fade. They're just as glorious a billion years into eternity as they are the day you entered into that glory. What a wonderful thing that is. And so you keep eternity in your heart, and you know that the reward is great in heaven, even though they say things against you falsely. And you've just stood for the Lord, and they revile you, they persecute you. You just keep on standing. People might say, "Well, the day we live in is different." Well, it's not any different. It's still the same devil. And it's still the same Holy Spirit who's greater in you than he that is in the world. And so, the day may be different in the way the world views it, but the day is still not greater than our Lord. In Paul's day, they did not accept that reasoning of the devil, and they gained a victory. They had eternity set in their heart. So, my friend, build your Christian life on sound doctrine, not emotion, not sentimentality or materialism. The marks of the last days is that sound doctrine is not endured. And verses 19 through 21 is telling us to endure. I'm told in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, to preach the word and be instant in season and out of season, to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. What does the word reprove and rebuke mean to you? Many times it has the idea of censure, to show disapproval. He says in 2 Timothy, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. In other words, they won't leave from being religious. They'll just leave from the truth. And you'll see those churches that are appeal to your feelings, churches that make you feel good, churches and preaching that does not confront your sin and your heart. Oh, yeah, that people will turn to that in the last days. And I think that we're seeing that before our very eyes. They shall turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, those things that try to make their religion palatable to their carnal nature. And so they compromise and they appease the flesh. You see, it doesn't have to be that way. There is victory in Jesus, and it's still true, as Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. My friend, prove all things in order to hold fast that which is good. Don't quench the Spirit. Despise not prophesying or preaching, and prove all things by the word of God, not by popularity, and hold fast, that is, never let go that which is good. And you'll be on the way to being a good Christian. Now, these things that we've just reviewed mean very little if Jesus Christ is not your Savior. My friend, do you know that if you died today, that heaven is your home? Do you know, are you certain, by the Word of God, that if life ended right now or the rapture took place, your soul would be with the Lord? You see, my friend, doing the best you can will not get you to heaven. Being baptized, being a church member, being religious, doing a lot of good works, giving a lot of money to charity, those things will not get you to heaven. Now, those are things perhaps Christians should do. Some have gone through what they call confirmation. Some have gone into some Bible studies. But, you see, you can't miss the first step. The first step is to see that you are a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My friend, that might sound negative to you, but if you don't realize that you're a sinner and that you're going to go to hell without Christ, then my friend, the negative thing is when you die and you end up in hell. It's not negative to warn you what to do to miss hell, to warn you of your condition. Man has terminal cancer. It's not negative for the doctor to tell him he has cancer. So admit that you're a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. By the way, he compares us to the glory of God, Jesus Christ, not to one another. He compares us to Christ. All of us come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one, Romans 3:10 says. Yes, my friend, all of us are sinners, headed to hell, and we cannot save ourselves. Be willing to turn from sin, that is, repent. Acts 17:30 says that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world. So, my friend, a straight command from God is to repent. The word repent means to turn from your sin, turn from depending on yourself, and you turn totally to Jesus Christ. In other words, you're saying, you know what, I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. And so you turn to him with the understanding he's going to forgive you, and by his blood he cleanses your sin from you, and you're willing for him to take your sin away. Now, if a person says, you know what, I'm going to turn to Jesus, but I don't want him to take this from me and that from me. I don't want to take these. I enjoy these sins. I don't want to take them from me. And I'm going to hold on to them. Well, there may be preachers out there that will tell you, well, that's all right. You just ask Jesus to save you. That's all that's important. No. If you don't have a repentant heart, if you're not willing for Jesus to take your sin away, then you're not going to be saved. Then believe that Jesus Christ, when he shed his blood on the cross and died, that he was dying for every sin you ever have or ever will commit. And then 3 days later, he rose up victorious over hell and the grave. And believing that, you call upon him and receive him into your life as your Lord and Savior. For the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, my friend, Jesus was God in the flesh. He came to this earth specifically to die for your sin. And he has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. You're not going to go to heaven unless it's through Christ, and it's all of his grace. If you believe that he died for your sin, every one of them, and you're willing for him to take your sin away, and you believe that his shed blood was a sufficient price before Almighty to pay for your sins as he says it was, then through prayer, call upon him to save you. Why not right now, right where you are? Bow your head and pray this prayer, asking the Lord for salvation. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I need forgiveness. Forgive me of my sin. I believe that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood on the cross for my sin and died for me. I believe that 3 days later, he rose up from the dead. I right now invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart and my life as my Lord, as my God, as my Savior. Save me right now. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, my friend, if you just prayed that prayer and you just asked the Lord to save you, write us and let us know. We have a booklet titled Building Blocks that will give you instruction and teach you how to grow in this new Christian life. It'll show you things about doctrine. It'll show you how to study the Bible to get more out of it. It'll teach you on how to pray. And it'll teach you about prophecy. It'll even have things in there about separation. So I want you to get this booklet absolutely free. Just write and say, Brother Andy, I ask the Lord to save me listening to the broadcast. Or you might just write us and just say, Brother Andy, I'm already saved, but I would like to have the booklet so that I can build others with it and disciple new converts. You can make copies of the booklet. I give permission for people to copy my booklet. But I want you to have it absolutely free. And I see that my time is up, so I want to thank you for listening today to the Lamp and Light broadcast. And my friend, please allow the lamp of God's Word to be the light that you follow today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the Lamp and Light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all. that are in Christ Jesus.